HMS Net Radio, Christian Earnhardt's 70s Punk and Beyond.
Raised on Frank Sinatra and the Beatles, fired by punk, by the early 80s, Stuart Goddard had transformed himself into the swashbuckling post-punk Errol Flynn of the top 40. Now following a very public breakdown in 2002, he's back in the fight. Adam Ant.
Bang, bang, yeah, that did not to do. Stop doing it, pop, buddy, buzz, and betty on you. Bang, bang, yeah, that did not to do. Stop doing it, pop, buddy, buzz, and betty on you.
Survivor, dandy handyman, tabloid spectacle, he saw both sides of fame. Back out on the road and off the meds, Adam is thriving again.
Thank you. cut. Lap bird door. Hot dog's mind. That's what I'm here for.
It took Stuart Goddard 5 years after he'd seen the Sex Pistols' live debut on November 6, 1975, to metamorphose from a Johnny Rotten wannabe into pop's answer to Errol Flynn. In 2012, gold and platinum disc for his run of early 80s hits with his band, Ant Music, Stand and Deliver, Ant Rap, plaster one wall of his sitting room. Back then, with matinee idol looks and a coquettishly knowing grin, he wowed both teenage girls and adventurously dressed in an outsider demographic. He was post-punk's choose life option, a bracingly colorful, sexually charged antidote to the era's Joy Division, The Fall, and Echo and the Bunnymen's dark overcoat tendencies. Adam and the Ants.
Check.
Back on the road since 2012, Adam has nonetheless struggled to produce new music, not helped by a bitter falling out with his classic spar Marco Peroni. Now at last, there's a purgative new 17-track album picturesquely entitled Adam Ant is the Blue-Black Hussar Marrying the Governor's Daughter. And the comeback is underway in earnest. The phrase, marrying the gunner's daughter, as he explains, is an old naval term from being put out over a cannon and whipped, which is how he reckons the music industry treated him. His comeback single is a bluesy number called Cool Zombie. Why? Because it was the last thing people would have expected from him. Swampy sliding Tennessee blues with an ant-sounding chant running through it. It's not the most instantaneous song he's got, but it's got an autobiographical element. Cool Zombie is what he's become. Some of the medication they had him on had him go through quite a disastrous effect.
Master!
The new album feels like he's exorcising his demons, and there's plenty of them. He had such a public trauma, he decided to take the route of discussing his side of it. He had a small opportunity with the book in 2006, his autobiography, Stand and Deliver. After all those interviews, he wished he could just go. Now he's dealing with the subjects of the trauma and growing up and the business. It's all there. You are listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston, Texas. Adam grew up in a council block in St. John's Wood. With an abusive alcoholic father, there was the beatnik girl called Vicky who used to look after him when he was just about three. She'd bring records by Lonnie Dunegan, Billy Fury, Tommy Steele, Gene Vincent, and Elvis Presley. The rest was all off the television, which was Thank Your Lucky Stars and Jukebox Jury. The first record Adam ever bought was Magical Mystery Tour, which was because his mom was working for Paul McCartney.
Told her city folks ain't the same. Pussy cat carries a postcard. I want the big city be nice. That's the place for the action. Gonna have her slice. Warnings. Oh, there's a loser's away. I think you'd agree if you saw her. A rose built in a day. Pussycat's read all the papers. I've seen the movie knows. All the streets lead to somewhere. And the pavement's gold.
I've been to London. And now I'm queen. Simply, I know where.
Adam's mom was Paul McCartney's cleaner at a house in St. John's Wood. Adam remembers seeing him through the door. Mom worked there from Revolver right through when they were doing Sgt. Pepper's. Adam did meet up with Paul McCartney when he was doing Prince Charming in Air Studios. Linda's daughter Heather was a big Ants fan, and they were next door, and Macca came in with her, and she said, "My mom used to work for you." And he said, "Oh yeah? Well, bring her." So Adam took Betty in the next day, and they went off for a few hours and had a cup of tea and a chat. Stardom was never a distant fantasy for Adam. He could see the rewards very clearly. They'd walk through all the screaming girls outside, go in the door with his mom, and take the sheepdog for a walk. Paul McCartney gave Adam's mom a white label of Revolver to give to him. Adam doesn't know where it is, but it must be worth a fortune.
A new raw family of wild nobility. We are the family. A new raw family of wild nobility. We are the family. A new raw family.
I feel the pain in me.
Adam went to the hip Hornsey College of Art. Ray Davies was an alumni, and it hosted its own 1968 sit-in. Adam arrived in the 70s. It was no longer radical by then. Adam met Danny Kleiman there, who became a film director and James Bond title sequence designer. Every Thursday, they had the best of the bands, Kilburn and the High Roads, Ducks Deluxe. It was the pub rock thing. That's when he first made the steps towards playing bass and singing in Bazooka Joe.
Duke wears white socks.
Bazooka Joe supported the Sex Pistols after a debut gig at St. Martin's, but never released anything. It was Danny Kleiman initially writing songs with keyboard player Bill Smith. Bill wrote Rocking in Ab, which Madness covered on their first album. They used to see these little kids in Crombies at the front doing their formation dances. Their singer was a guy called Danny Barson, who became the keyboard player in Madness. Toward the end of what split them up, Adam started writing songs. By the time he saw the Sex Pistols, right, I will do it on my own. Rotten was really hypnotic. He was sucking toffees and spitting them out. No one had ever done that before. John told the audience when they were clapping, "Don't waste my time." After that, Adam thought, "I don't want to be stuck with another year of college."
I seen you walking down the street. What's that thing up by your feet? Whatever it is you can do with a beach. It looks to me just like a Puerto Rico. So red, you get off on his greasy hair. You got a smart apartment, you got central heaters. Why go waste it on a Puerto Rico?
cops down dead, yeah. Well, and the boys don't think it's right that you stay out with him all night. Don't go making such a fuss. Come and burn him up with us. If you drag him, he will bleed. Don't you put him on that lead. We can't have his 8 pints leaking, even if he's a very good. I'm gonna light up a beacon on a Puerto Rican. Gonna strike a matchstick on his head. Light up a beacon on a Puerto Rican. Gonna watch me smile as he drops down dead. Light up a beacon on a Puerto Rican. Gonna strike a matchstick on his head. Light up a beacon on a Puerto Rican.
You are listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston, Texas. Adam got into the punk scene quickly. He had a plan. He was going to get Jordan, Malcolm McLaren's employee, soon Adam's main squeeze, to manage him. Because she looked great, they fortunately got a part in Derek Jarman's movie Jubilee. That paid the rent. So he got a little room at Earl's Court, which is near King's Road, which was a lifesaver. To actually be where it was all happening, Adam could go around to Sex and Seditionaries. The Pistols would always be there virtually every day. He played at the Man on the Moon pub on the corner and built it up from there. But the music critics didn't like Jubilee. They thought Derek Jarman was just some old arty hippie trying to jump on the punk bandwagon. It was the only film about punk made in the year of punk, quite a historic piece, but Malcolm and Vivian Westwood hammered it. They did a t-shirt slagging it off, saying that the film was crap, apart from Jordan and Adam. The movie held him back. Adam didn't get Dirk Wears White Socks out until 1979.
Put some wax on the tracks and slide on out.
Of a rap thing,
Adam was demoing for the Decca label. He did the Young Parisian single and loads of demos, but they got nicked and bootlegged. Then he got dropped. Young Parisians only went to number 108, and he didn't think that was startling enough for a result for them. Then he got involved with Malcolm McLaren. Adam had an overnight impact like the Sex Pistols. Adam had been playing from 1977 for 3 years with absolutely no money. Then he either got ignored or hammered, but he had a very loyal following. Raw extreme punks would come see Adam and the Ants. That was the audience Malcolm had wanted for the Sex Pistols, those great-looking punk rockers with Mohicans that were tough and scared of no one and fearless. He was just trying to sell clothes. Malcolm never planted his flag in any camp other than his own.
know me. To become admirers of my enemies. I want those who get to know me. To become admirers of my enemies.
Take it up a little. I'm not gonna change a bit. If it means heartache, then leave it up for your sake. I tried and I tried, tried to take out my insides. Nobody's perfect, so leave me if you object. I want those who get to know me to become admirers of my enemies. I want those who get to know me to become admirers of my enemies.
After a short time when Malcolm McLaren was in charge, he spotted Annabelle Lewin in a laundrette and nicked Adams' backing band to form Bow Wow Wow. While a huge blunder on his part, he best described it as a mutiny he organized. Malcolm came across as a captain blind it, but Adams survived. Looking back now in perspective, he knew that he was the brains of the operation. Once he found Annabelle, he got this pop band that he could control. But he did give Adam good advice. One to one, he sat down and listened to Dirk Wears White Socks all the way through and asked him track by track what it was all about. Malcolm said, "Do you want to be an indie thing or do you want hits?" Adam said, "I want hits." Malcolm said, "You're going the wrong way about it. You want your face on the cover." Adam went through the basics of structure on what made a great rock and roll single. For example, everything from Mystery Train by Elvis Presley to Les Liaisons Dangereuses by Charlie Parker and The Cast Iron Arm by Peanuts Wilson. Then he played Burundi Black, Mike Stevenson's 1971 hit appropriating African tribal drumming, sped up to 78 RPMs, and Adam thought, "Yeah, all right."
Looking flash and grabbing your
Dog Eat Dog was the song that broke through for Adam. Malcolm knew it was the one. This is what Malcolm was on about. A classic record, verse, chorus, 3.5 minutes. When they were cutting it down near the BBC, Chaz Chandler, Jimi Hendrix's manager, who used to be in the Animals, was in the next room, and he came in and said, "That's a hit record, kids."
Great heaven knows that we wish we had not so many clothes. So let's loosen up with a playful tease, like all lovers did through the centuries.
We're just following ancient history. Your clothes get in the way. If a pretty dress hides your true desire, fold it nice and slow, throw it on the fire.
We're just following ancient history. If I strip on you, will you strip on me? We're just following ancient history. If I strip on you, will you strip on me?
Uh-huh. We don't need to see why the saw or a mirrored room with a mirrored floor. All the sneaky looks gazing down on you are no substitute for a rendezvous.
Like all lovers did through the centuries.